Dream Catchers and Pictures of Jesus Are a Sin by Nathaniel Burson. Surely that picture of Jesus on your wall, or the angel statuettes your sister gave you, or that dream catcher over your child's bed, isn't an idol. After all, you're not bowing down to it, or praying to it, are you? Of course not. How does God feel about it? Does it really matter how you feel? If you're right, then you are allowed to have pictures and representations of other gods in your home, as long as you don't actually worship them. At best, this means you get to have some trinkets decorating your home. But if I'm right, they will rob you of your salvation. I dare to make the bold statement that if you knowingly keep a dream catcher in your home, God won't be there. Don't you think it's worth investigating and finding the real truth of this matter, and not the way that seems right to a man, the way that seems right to you, the way that leads to death? Let us take, for example, a cute little statue of Buddha. It's totally harmless, perhaps a souvenir from your trip to China. Surely that's not going to interfere with your faith, is it? I mean, you know that it's just a lump of porcelain. You know that it's not an idol to you, so it must be all right. First, I chose this example because it is very clear. Your cute little Buddha is an idol. Maybe you don't bow down to it, to worship it, but it is an idol. Where in the Bible does it give you permission to purchase idols from the heathen and place them in your home just for looks? Why would you even want to have an idol like the heathen? You should hate their idols. The very sight of their idols should make you angry. You should want to destroy and utterly crush every idol on earth. Not buy one for a souvenir of your trip. Do you think God would have one of those disgusting idols in his home? Does he think they're cute? Deuteronomy 12, verse 3. And you shall overthrow their altars, and break their pillars, and burn down their groves with fire. And you shall hew down the graven images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place. Exodus 32, verse 20. And he took the calf which they had made, and burnt it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strewed it upon the waters, and made the children of Israel drink of it. 2 Kings 23, verse 6. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord, without Jerusalem, unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it into powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. God has the idols ground to powder, and fed to the people who worship them. He doesn't keep them around for his knick-knack shelf. How dare you? The idol is a disgusting, unclean thing. Whether you serve it or not, God hates it, and hates the devil that it represents. Leviticus 26, verse 30. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. That's how God feels about idols. Yes, you are free to believe any ridiculous thing you wish, and justify having that Buddha in your home all you want, but God hates it, and he hates you having one. Whether you serve it or not, it is unclean to him. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Why on earth would you even want an idol in your home? Why? Is there nothing else in the world you could place on your knick-knack shelf instead? Why must you have that unclean filth? God doesn't even like you touching it. Isaiah 52, verse 11. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Now that you have been told, as long as you have that statue of Buddha there, God will not be with you. I'm not making this up. See for yourself. Believe what you read there, or reject it. Deuteronomy 23, verses 12 through 14. You shall have a place also without the camp, whither you shall go forth abroad, and you shall have a paddle upon your weapon, and it shall be, when you will ease yourself abroad, that you shall dig therewith, and shall turn back and cover that which comes from you. For the Lord your God walks in the midst of the camp, to deliver you, and to give up your enemies before you. Therefore shall your camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in you, and turn away from you. You've just read scriptures that call idols unclean things. It doesn't matter whether or not you think this idol troubles your conscience or not. Maybe you are mature enough so that this idol doesn't bother you. But God isn't. Because if God walks into your house and sees it, it offends him. Just because it is what it is, a statue of his enemy. Deuteronomy 7, verse 25. The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. You shall not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto you, lest you be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Neither shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be a cursed thing like it. But you shall surely detest it, and you shall surely abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. That is God's clear command not to take an idol from another person and bring it into your home, even if you just want to melt it down for the silver and gold. Even if you aren't going to worship it, it is cursed, and God commands you to detest it and abhor it. And if you disobey and reject that command of God, you are cursed just like it is. And yet, regardless of this, just like your fathers, many people still justify themselves. Ask yourself, does this next scripture describe you? Remember, God broke your yoke and forgave you, and you said, "I will not transgress," at baptism. Have you kept that promise? Jeremiah 2, verses 20 through 24 and 35. For of old time I have broken your yoke and burst your bands, and you said, "I will not transgress," when upon every high hill and under every green tree you wandered, playing the harlot. Yet I had planted you a noble vine, wholly a right seed. How then are you turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? For though you wash yourself with nitre, and take much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord God. How can you say, "I am not polluted, I have not gone after Balaam"? Yet you say, "Because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me." Behold, I will plead with you, because you say, "I have not sinned." Can you believe that? Israel, while practically in the process of offering their children to Baal, said, "I am not polluted, I have not gone after Balaam." Then they had the colossal nerve to say, "Because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me, and I have not sinned." Could this be you? When Israel played the harlot, they did so with pagan gods. Do you play the harlot with your statue of Buddha, and then turn to God and say, "I have not sinned. After all, I'm not worshiping it"? I leave that to you to answer. All that I say is that your cute little statue is a sin, and God hates it, and will not walk in your house as long as it is there. And that's just one example, with a few scriptures. What about a dream catcher? A dream catcher is an idol. It is used for an idol by millions across the country. Some say the dream catcher was invented solely for tourists, that it hasn't been worshipped by the Native Americans for thousands of years. But see, that doesn't matter. When they invented it doesn't matter. What matters is that it is an idol now. Here's a quote from a dreamcatcher ad I copied off the internet. Quote, "Dreamcatchers originated from the Native Americans. There are many versions of the legend describing their birth, but they all agree that dreamcatchers should be hung over the head of the bed, and that good dreams will filter through the web and drop from the feathers onto the slumbering person, whilst bad dreams will become hopelessly entangled in the web and remain trapped until they melt away with the first rays of dawn." Unquote. They claim it protects you from bad dreams, that it catches the evil thoughts and prevents them from giving you bad dreams. And so you hang it over your bed, and what has it become? An idol that protects you from evil spirits. And so what will God say to you when you turn to him and need help for some calamity in your life? I happen to know exactly what he will say to you. Don't you? He'll say, Judges 10, verse 14, "Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." God doesn't even like to have the name of these gods spoken. He has given clear commands on the subject. Maybe you haven't noticed, but God really hates idols. He doesn't think they're cute or harmless, and if you believe otherwise, you do so without any scriptural authority whatsoever. Joshua 23, verses 6 and 7. "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand nor to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you. neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. Notice that God isn't commanding that you don't mention their names, and swear by them, and serve them, and bow down to them, making a complete worship package. Most people who want to keep their pagan idols try to prove that, so that they can keep them, but it's just not true. God doesn't want you to do any part of it. He doesn't want you to mention their very names, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. That's what the scripture just said, as you can see. Exodus 23, verse 13. And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of your mouth. So it should be a simple matter now for you to apply this thinking to a picture of a long-haired Jesus hanging on your wall. Even the most devout Christian will admit that it isn't what Jesus looked like. It is a picture of another Jesus, a false Jesus, a picture of one of Satan's idols he wants to pass off as Jesus. And again, God hates it, so why shouldn't you? 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Since no one knows what the real Jesus looks like, the picture you have is of another Jesus, whom Paul and we do not preach. And thus it is a heathen idol, which should be burned, and the people who own them should be forced to eat the ashes. That is how God dealt with that problem. God doesn't want you to have a picture of him in your home, and I can prove that. Deuteronomy 4, verses 14 through 16. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spoke unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves, and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female. God said that the children of Israel didn't see him that day because he knew they would make an idol of whatever they saw, and he didn't want a picture or a statue of him in their homes. That's how God feels about his picture in your home. Now, I've said enough. Any thinking person can apply this to crosses, statues of angels, pictures of the Last Supper, wizards, dragons, hearts, four-leafed clovers, fortune cookies, wreaths, elves, horoscopes, and anything else that represents the enemies of God. Destroy them all if you want God to be near you, because I think we all know how he feels about them now. Psalm 16, verse 4. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names unto my lips. So, fill your house with Buddhas and dream catchers and pictures of Jesus if you want. But I, well, Psalms 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. For more articles, please visit www.thesimpleanswers.com. You may send any questions, comments, complaints, or suggestions to us at questions@thesimpleanswers.com. Thank you for listening.